we present the sixth episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, which he's adapted from his novel of the same name. With Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd, Susanna Fellows as Debbie, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Pay Any Price.
Passengers from the TWA flight from New York to Prestwick who are disembarking here at Shannon, please follow the signs to Customs and Immigration. Thank you.
Okay, Nancy. Stick alongside me. The other two will go through first and we'll follow.
That's no problem, sir. You've got room 57. That's a suite with sitting room, and Miss Rawlins is in 58 adjoining. Just sign the register, if you will.
You want to see our passports?
Are they both United States passports?
Yes.
That's all right, sir. It won't be necessary. I'll get the boy to take your bags up. You're wanted, Tommy. 57 and 58. Enjoy your stay in Dublin, sir. And you, miss.
How do you feel, Nancy?
Oh, I'm ready for bed. It was a lovely meal.
Why don't you close your eyes for a few minutes?
I just go to sleep.
I'll wake you up. Just close your eyes. That's it. When I count to 10, you'll be asleep. But you'll still hear me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. 5, 6, 7. Deeper and deeper. 8, 9, 10. Can you hear me?
Yes.
8, 9, 0. And now you're Laura. Beautiful Laura. And you hate what they're doing to the man you love. The house in the snow. And then the spring and the daffodils. You remember?
I can hear the tune. The lovely tune and the bells on the horse's harness. When we had to go away and leave him.
Look at these photographs, Laura. Look at this man. He's your enemy. And your husband's enemy. He's the man who will split you all up. This is where he lives, in this house. Remember this house. Tomorrow you'll go to that house and ask to see him. You'll give him this letter and tell him to read it right away. And as soon as he opens it, you'll shoot him with this gun. In his face and his chest. You know how to shoot. You'll fire twice and then run down the path to the car. This man will be in the car. His name is Ames. He'll bring you to me, and you will have saved us all. Do you understand?
Yes.
I want you to get a good night's sleep.
Mr. Rafferty?
Ah, that's me.
I was told to give you this letter. They want me to take back an answer.
Close your eyes, Laura. I'll count from 1 to 10 and you'll feel real good. 1, 2, coming up. 3, 4, 5, waking slowly. 6, 7, 8, deep breaths. 9, 10, Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're nice and relaxed. You don't remember anything about today or yesterday evening. You're Nancy Rawlins. And you're on holiday. Do you understand?
Yes. I like being on holiday.
Tell me your name.
I'm Nancy Rawlins. And I'm on holiday.
Good girl. Now I'll wake you up again. 10. You're waking up. 9. 8. Nice and easy.
Do you know what you'll be doing now you're back, Jimmy?
More or less. I'll be in the UK anyway.
Exciting?
No, routine.
Well, I'm glad of that.
Thanks, pal.
Do you like what you do?
Most of it.
What don't you like?
Being away from you.
What else?
The bits I can't talk about.
Do people get hurt?
Yes, sometimes. Mainly they go in the nick.
Would you hurt people?
Oh. Well, if it was necessary, I would. I'd rather it was them than me.
Is that how you got the scar on your shoulder?
Well, hey. What is all this, kid? Are you worried about something?
Well, not really, but I worry about you.
I can look after myself, Katie. They don't send us out like lambs to the slaughter.
No, it isn't just that. I read things sometimes in the paper, and I wonder if they're to do with you, if you do such things.
What sort of things?
Well, men who are dragged out of rivers or found dead in back alleys, and the hints that they were spies. I can't somehow imagine you in those scenarios.
Oh, they don't often happen.
Well, maybe not, but you seem too honest and too something or other to be mixed up in things like that.
It's only being a kind of policeman. Hmm?
Policemen don't kill the criminals.
No.
Have you killed people, Jimmy?
Oh, God. This summer really stings.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll shut up. I shouldn't have gone on like that.
It's not like you, Katie. Ah, but I understand I'd be the same if our roles were reversed. I'd be much worse, I'm sure. Oh, come on, let's go round to Itchen and have a drink. They'll be open by the time we get there. Get the anchor up for me, will you?
Okay.
Do sit down, James.
Thanks.
That's it. I've got one of those odd things landed on my desk. Could be something, could be nothing. I'd like you to give it a whirl until you're sure that it's a nonsense.
What is it, KGB?
No, I don't think so. And that's probably the only interesting aspect. There's no real indication of anyone being involved. Let me give you the basics. There's a file, but it doesn't tell you much. There's no great urgency, but I'd like you to read the stuff and let it wash around your mind while you're on leave. We had a report from the Provost Marshal's office that a psychiatrist up north had a patient with hallucinations about his time in the army.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of detail involving killings ordered by army officers, but the fact is that the chap had a perfectly routine job in a depot in the UK.
Oh.
The killings were supposed to be in Germany, but the fellow was never out of this country, not even in civilian life. Despite all this, the psychiatrist was worried. Chap isn't complaining, and he seems an honest, unimaginative fellow, and he's obviously not aware of what he's saying under hypnosis. He has nightmares. But he doesn't remember much until he's under hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Then he seems to remember more each session. The doctor spoke to the military police at Northern Command, and SIB did a check or two on some of the names and drew a blank. A report went down the routine channels to the Provost Marshal, and he's passed it to us, and now I'm passing it to you.
Yeah. Well, at least it's the first time I've been asked to investigate somebody's dreams.
Nightmares, James, not dreams.
Yeah.
And the psychiatrist thinks they're real.
Have a quick read and phone me if you want anything done before you come back.
I'll leave you in peace.
Sit down, Mr. Boyd.
Thanks.
I thought the soldiers were taking their normal stance towards psychiatrists as one step worse than witch doctors.
Oh, well. Dr. Hansel, the army employs at least a couple of hundred psychiatrists itself. Most of them field rank or above. No, we're not quite the Philistines the media make us out to be. Not that we mind too much what outsiders think.
That puts me in my place.
Oh, I didn't mean that, Doctor. No, we're quite genuinely grateful that you decided to notify us.
How much have they told you?
Well, I've read your report, and I've read the report by the military police. They weren't able to trace any officers of those names operating in Germany from 1945 onwards. Well, that's about all I know.
There's one thing I know now that I didn't know when I contacted the army. My patient has definitely been hypnotized before. He says he hasn't, and that probably means that he's been hypnotized surreptitiously.
Oh, is that possible? I thought you could only be hypnotized if you wanted to be, and you cooperated.
That used to be the thinking, but it isn't so. And the old theory that nobody under hypnosis could be made to do something that he or she found repugnant when they were conscious has also gone by the board.
I see. Would it be possible for you to ask him some questions for me?
Depends what they were, but there's no practical problem.
Could I be there to hear his answers?
No, oh. I'm afraid not.
Not even if he agreed?
Ah, well, that's different, but I couldn't agree to any deception. He'd have to know who you are.
Mm-hmm. When are you seeing him again?
Tomorrow at 3:00.
Can I make out a list of questions tonight and let you have them in the morning at the hospital?
Okay.
And just one more question. Have you any idea who might have hypnotized him before and why they'd have done it?
Have you any ideas yourself?
Well, half an idea.
Can I hear it?
Well, the likely person could be someone in the army. But I don't see how they'd do it or why.
I won't add to that. Where are you staying?
Oh, I'm staying with friends. I've got a car outside. Can I phone you about 4:00 tomorrow?
Make it 6:00 and I'll finish my clinic.
Ah, and would it be possible to have your session taped?
They're all taped anyway. But I wouldn't be keen to let you hear them.
Oh.
Not at this stage, anyway.
Oh, we could talk about that, maybe?
Maybe.
At that time, I'd never even heard of Debbie Shaw. But apparently her theatrical agency was doing very well. She got on well with showbiz people. And it was through her agency that she met a man who became the closest thing she ever had to a permanent boyfriend. Not that he was a boy, by any means. He was much older than she was. He was a professional magician, and he'd gone to Debbie to get a new girl assistant. He'd been in showbiz all his life, never terribly successful, and rather feckless with money, but like a good many feckless people, he was charming and amiable. He was genuinely fond of Debbie, and she was fond of him, too. His name was Steve Randall. On that particular day, he'd taken her to the local cinema to see My Fair Lady, and then they'd gone back to her flat, and he'd switched on the TV.
I came here to find my husband, the one who was reported killed.
Strelnikov? I met him.
Met him?
Yes.
What is it, Debbie? What's the matter? Let me call a doctor.
No.
Oh, dear.
No.
No.
No. No. Oh. Switch it off, please.
Switch what off?
Sorry, Steve. Oh, I was stupid.
Tell me, what was the matter?
Oh, I don't really know.
Did you feel ill?
No. I was just frightened.
Frightened of what?
Oh. Oh, take me to bed and love me.
I want to know what frightened you.
It was a kind of dream.
What was it about?
I'm not sure. It was just like... Oh, I don't know how to explain.
Like a few seconds in a film that shouldn't be there. A bit that's nothing to do with the film.
What did you see?
A row of houses. Old-fashioned houses. And a man at an open door. There was a red hole over his nose, between his eyes.
Go on.
He fell down. Someone had shot him.
Was he someone you know?
I don't know. I don't think so. And yet I did know him.
And that was all of it?
Yes.
What particular bit frightened you?
It was me who shot him.
Oh. That shows it was only a dream.
But I wasn't asleep.
It could be a daydream.
It wasn't, Steve. Why should I daydream about killing a man I don't even know?
Maybe it's someone from way back. Some film your conscious mind has long forgotten.
It was real, Steve. It happened.
Now, that's being silly, sweetie. Pretty girls don't go around shooting men they don't know. What did he look like?
Big. Red-faced. Like a farmer or someone who spends all his time out of doors.
What were you thinking about before this daydream?
I was trying to think who the girl was in the film they made of Oklahoma.
Gloria Graham. Let's tuck you up in bed so you can have a good night's sleep. Come on. Leave the bedside lamp on, and I'm going to get you a nice warm drink.
I sometimes wonder what's in your letters and the packages.
What letters?
The ones I take for you.
I don't understand, Debbie.
I'm not Debbie. I'm Nancy. You've forgotten. What's your real name? It's not really Joe Spellman, is it? Joe Spellman. Washington. 240-1429.
Are you asleep? Can you hear me?
Of course I can. Your voice sounds... Oh, God! Where am I? Where am I? I'm frightened.
Lie back, sweetie. Lie back and rest. I'll be back in a moment.
Bye-bye. Hope you're not driving, Tommy.
Darling, why were you so cross with Tom Fraser?
Oh, he's a bit of a creep, he is, when he's had a couple of whiskies.
How did he know you work for MI6?
He works at the ministry that supplies government departments with furniture and carpets and that sort of stuff. Shall we finish this?
Oh, you can. I've had enough.
Well, when we moved from the Queen Anne's Gate, he saw me at Century House when they were making an inventory. He wasn't sure that I worked there. He was just fishing.
Well, you were rather nasty with him.
I ignored him twice, my love. He should have taken the hint and not gone on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like to know what the difference is between MI5 and MI6.
Yeah, well, they must carry on wanting, so far as I'm concerned.
Would you tell me?
Oh... You're not really interested, are you?
Yes.
Why?
I'm just curious. It is interesting.
It isn't really. Oh. MI5 is responsible for this country's security. They keep tabs on foreign intelligence agents, subversives, that sort of stuff. They don't arrest people themselves. Special branch, which is part of the normal police force under the commissioner. They do all the actual arrests. MI6, are responsible for getting intelligence from other countries. And that's all there is to it. But even that's not for publication.
Come on, the Russians must know all about it already.
Oh, maybe.
Well, why can't we know, the public?
Well, why should we confirm anything for the other side?
It might stop people criticising what you do.
And the ones who criticise don't know what we do. And if they do know and still criticise, it's generally because they've got some ulterior motive.
You mean they're on the other side?
Yeah, most of them.
But some MPs criticise.
So?
What, you mean that those MPs are working for the Russians?
No, not all of them. Some just want to bring the country to a state of anarchy and revolution. So they can take over.
And it's your job to find out who they are and stop them?
No, that's Five's job.
Oh.
My lot find out what we want to know about other governments and their intelligence services.
I can't imagine you doing that somehow.
Yeah, okay, Mata Hari. Here endeth the first lesson and the last one, too.
You know, we could live quite well off my paintings.
Mm. I'd rather like being a kept man, darling.
No, I mean it, Jimmy.
Why should we?
Have you ever killed anybody?
No comment. Time for bed. Come on, I've got an early start tomorrow.
All right, I'm being silly, aren't I?
No, you're being kind and caring. And I think about you and all those virtues very often when I'm away.
Honestly?
Honestly. Come on, it's past midnight.
What's the problem, Mr. Randall?
Dr. Mason said you were a psychiatrist, a consultant.
That's right. And how can I help you?
It isn't my problem. It's a close friend of mine. I think she's seriously ill and doesn't know it.
And you'd like her to make an appointment to see me?
No, she wouldn't come. Like I said, she doesn't realize she's ill.
I can't treat or diagnose the problem without seeing her.
I thought I could tell you what's been happening.
I'm afraid not. I can't and wouldn't discuss a third party's problems with you.
Can I ask you why not?
Well, first of all, it's bad practice. Your observations could be wrong or misleading. Secondly, you might have some ulterior motive. It's not unknown for wives to suggest that their husbands should be certified just because they're bored with them. It'd be quite unprofessional to discuss one person's medical problems with someone else.
What can I do to help her, then?
It's very simple, Mr. Randall. You get her to see her general practitioner, and if he decides that it's necessary, he'll make arrangements for her to see an appropriate consultant.
She hasn't got a GP. She never has had one. And she refuses to go to one.
Maybe she doesn't need one. My nurse will see you out, Mr. Randall.
She's been hypnotized without her knowing.
What makes you think that?
She thought yesterday that she was somebody else. Somebody with a different name.
People do have such thoughts, Mr. Randall. It's not uncommon. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's been hypnotized.
It does. I know. I'm a hypnotist.
What do you mean you're a hypnotist?
Just that. I'm on the stage. I do a hypnosis act. I can recognize the signs. But I can't help her. I'm not a doctor.
Sit down, Mr. Randall. You'd better tell me a bit more. Jameson? No, Mr. Randall's still with me. No, ask him to wait. I shan't be long. Well, Mr. Randall, before I suggest what might be done, I want to ask you some questions. And I want honest answers. I'm not doubting anything you've told me, but I want to know what... Well, or let me ask you the questions. Are you this girl's lover?
I suppose you could call it that. I sleep with her, if that's what you mean. And I care about her, too.
Well, I'm sure you do. Do you want her to marry you?
I've thought about it from time to time. I'm not sure.
Does she want to marry you?
I should think the same applies. She likes me. She may have thought about marriage, but we've never discussed it.
Is she wealthy?
She's got a small business. Makes a good living, but I wouldn't call her wealthy.
And how about you? Are you wealthy?
I get by. And that's about it.
Do you know why I ask those questions?
You were trying to see if I'd got some ulterior motive.
One last question, Mr. Randall. Now think very carefully before you answer. I want the whole truth and nothing but.
So help me God.
Have you ever hypnotized this girl yourself?
in fun, or as a demonstration of your act, as a party turn, in any way?
No. I've never even discussed my act with her. She's seen me do it on stage. But that's all. She's never been involved.
Okay, now this is what I suggest you do. I'm going to give you a note to another consultant, a Mr. Salmon. He's the right man. And it couldn't be me, now we've discussed the matter. It needs somebody independent. But it's up to you to persuade Miss Shaw to take this note to the hospital. You go with her, by all means. But you must understand, if you can't persuade her to seek help, there's nothing more I can do. I've already gone far enough.
Thanks very much. I'm very grateful.
Well, just pop outside, see my receptionist. Oh, she'll give you your bill, and I'll write the note while you're settling up. Okay?
That's fine. Thanks again.
Do I need a coat?
I don't think so.
Steve.
What is it?
What do you think it says in the note?
I have no idea. It's all sealed up.
Oh, Steve. I'm so scared.
Oh, don't be scared, love. They'll know what to do.
Hold me, Steve. Hold me.
In the sixth episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, you heard Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd, Susanna Fellows as Debbie, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Katie was played by Carol Boyd, Mr. Healy, Leslie Heritage, Dr. Ansell, David Hobbs, Rafferty, James Kerry, Steve Randall, David Banks, the consultant, Alan Rowe, the voice on the tannoy by Pauline Siddle, and the clerk, Clive Panto. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The serial is directed by Christopher Venning.